And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground as an offering unto the Lord. So obviously God told him to bring a gift. You know, he's never changed that. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Verse 5 and 6. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why are you so angry? And why is your countenance fallen? Look at this, verse 7. If you do well, shall thou not be accepted? Now that message is still going to you today. If you do well, I don't care what you have. I don't care if you have a lamb. I don't care if you got wheat. I don't care if you got dollar bills. I don't care what you got. But God says, if you bring me an offering, if you bring it to me in faith, in love, doing good, will you not be accepted? Sure you will. If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. In other words, this principle has been here a long time, hasn't it? If you don't do well, sin's laying at the door. It's going to get you. Who do you think that beast is? The devil. He's there to get you. I mean, but look what he says. Sin lies at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire. And thou shall rule over him. Stop and think about that. How much power did God give you over sin? But you have to subdue it. When the sin comes to you to do something wrong, what do you got to do? Sometimes you have to have a wild, woolly wife that'll take the TV outside and cut the cord off. Is that right, brother? I mean, sometimes you got to have a woman that, I hope you don't mind since you told that story. It's a very good story. You know, very great story that you had a wife that didn't want you watching the junk of the world. And obviously God agreed with her. Amen. And so it got you healed anyway, didn't it? Praise the Lord, and I love it. Now then, let's go. Everything else is going to be in the NLT. We're going to read the rest of these scriptures in the NLT. And we're going to go to Matthew 19, verses 4 through 6. Matthew 19, verses 4 through 6. And it gets better the deeper we get into the New Testament when we talk about man and wife. Haven't you read the scriptures, Jesus replied? Well, I'm going to tell you, that's the problem. That is the problem. It hasn't changed. When somebody said, well, but my opinion of this. I said, I don't care what your opinion is. What does the Word of God say about it? This is what we got to get. Your opinions don't count. Man, if you're a man and you don't know what God says about taking care and loving your wife, your opinions about how you're supposed to treat your woman don't count. And woman, if you say, I don't have to be subject to my husband, I don't have to obey him, that's your opinion. And it don't count. You have to get your information from God's Word. But the king says, haven't you read the scripture? Jesus replied. They record that from the beginning God made them male and female, and he said, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Verse 6. Since they are no longer two, but one, let no one separate them, for God has joined them together. When a man and a woman get married today, do we have trial runs? There's no such thing as a trial run. I mean, when you get married, I don't care what happens, when you get married and you take that vow, you are to remain in that forever till death do you part. Now, you don't want to be like this woman that come up here a while back, and she said, Pastor, I want to tell you a little story. This was after church. She said, I taught on husbands and wives that day, something about them, and she says, when I got married, I thought this man was the most wonderful guy I'd ever seen in my life. I didn't know he was an alcoholic. But said, I found out right after we got married that he was an alcoholic. Said, all the time before we were going together, he drank alcohol, but he drank the kind I couldn't smell. I guess the vodka or whatever it was or something. But anyway, she said, I had no idea he was a drinker. But once we got married, he come in drunk. I mean drunk. And she said, for 5 years, I thought about everything, including murder. And one day I thought, I'll just kill him. And then she said, I thought, okay, God, you said no murder has eternal life. And so he ain't worth going to hell for. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do, God. I'm just going to give up on him, and I'm just going to love him, and I'm going to let you have him. I've lived with him for 5 years. It's been hell on earth for 5 years. But I'm just going to back off and say, okay, God, I'm going to love him with all my heart. I'm going to do everything you told me to do, and I'm going to turn him over to you. And she said, in 1 week, my husband got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and the last 35 years have been awful. Awesome, she said. Now, why didn't she turn him over to God 5 years earlier? See, she was trying to rule him. And God was not showing up. She didn't know. She had to turn him over to God. She could not change that man. Now, how many women have I had? Well, this guy, he's wonderful. Does he know Jesus? Oh, no. He don't go to church. He won't go to church with me. But he will after I marry him. He'll change after I marry him. How many of you girls know that's a lie? How many of you girls know that's a lie? You know you can't change him, don't you? Ain't no use in you trying. You can't change a man. Only God can change a man. So, but anyway, now let's go to 1 Corinthians 6, verses 8 through 20 in the NLT. So when a man and woman get married, how long are they supposed to stay married? Forever. Until death do them part. 1 Corinthians 6, 8 through 20. But instead, you yourselves are the one who do wrong and cheat even your own Christian brothers and sisters. Now, wait a minute. He couldn't be talking about us, could he? But instead, you yourselves are the ones who do wrong and you cheat even your own Christian brothers and sisters. Don't you know that those who do wrong will have no share in the kingdom of God? That's scary, isn't it? If you do wrong, you ain't going to have no share in the kingdom. Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sins. Oh, somebody gets married. Well, I ain't quite happy with my husband, you know. Or I'm not happy with my wife, you know. She won't go to bed with me often enough. So when I'm on a business trip, I'll just run around with some other girls. Nobody will ever know, will they? Well, don't fool yourselves. Because of your opinions, you're going to wind up in hell, according to the Word. Oh, but I'm saved. I ain't too sure of that. Don't fool yourselves, those who indulge in sexual sin, who are idol worshipers, adulterers, male prostitutes, and homosexuals. Oh, you know, there's a great big homosexual church right here in Dallas, and they say they're all going to heaven. I don't know what Bible they're reading, but it ain't the one I'm reading. You're a hate monger. Call me whatever you want to. I'm just getting my answers out of this book. You can call me anything you want to. I don't care, as long as God knows I'm teaching His Word. I'd rather make Him happy and everybody else mad than to make everybody else happy and Him mad. If I make Him mad, I got a problem. I don't want to make Him mad. Then verse 10 and 11. Thieves, greedy people, drunkards, abusers, and swindlers, none of these will have a share in the kingdom of God. How many of them? None of them. So when we talk about husbands and wives and what they do, they cheat, they break their vows with each other, they'll do crazy things. God says, you ain't going to go to heaven if you live like that. So He says, there was a time when some of you were just like that, but now your sins have been washed away and you have been set apart for God. You've been made right with God because of what the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God has done for you. Next two verses. You may say, I am allowed to do anything. But I reply, not everything is good for you. A lot of people say we have freedom in Christ to do anything. Have you heard that? And we technically do. But Paul's telling us, not everything is good for you. You have freedom to do it. And even though I am allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. You say food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food. That is true. Though someday God will do away with both of them. You know? But our bodies were not made for sexual immorality. No, it was not. They were made for the Lord, and the Lord cares about our bodies. Verses 14 and 15. And God will raise our bodies from the dead by His marvelous power, just as He raised our Lord from the dead. Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Should a man take his body, which belongs to Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Never. Somebody said, "Well, I ain't going to sleep with a prostitute. I'm going to sleep with my girlfriend. You know, that she's not a prostitute." Yeah. I remember one night a man that I know, and he had made God a vow that I will spend the first 2 hours when I get up every morning with you. And he religiously did that. He got up at 4 o'clock every morning. Went to bed real early. But he got up. He was a farmer. So he got up at 4 to 6, and then he could go do his work. But from 4 to 6, he studied God's Word. And then football season came along, and he loved football. And so he went to a school, and he wanted to see one of the colleges he went to. So he would go in on the internet before the deal with football season starts to see who's going to get to play for this school. And so he got to where he's spending an hour, 30 minutes or an hour of God's time researching the internet to find out who's going to play for his school. After about a week of that, one morning the God spoke to him. And he called his name and said, "Today you are a whore." He said, "God, I'm a man." He said, "It makes no difference. You are a spiritual whore. You promised me you would spend 4 to 6 with me every morning, and all this last week you spent the first hour with the world." He said, "You're a whore."
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.